Cardinal Peter Turkson is back in Rome after failing to make his way to Ivory Coast. The president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace was sent by Pope Benedict at the end of March as his personal representative, but intense fighting closed the airport in Abidjan. While seeking entry to the Ivory Coast in his native Ghana, Cardinal Turkson spoke over the phone with the Apostolic Nuncio and bishops in the country. Cardinal Turkson spoke to Charles Collins about his mission.
How did the mission go? An aspect of it can probably be said, we didn't quite get to the objective, the thing of wanting to visit the local church in Ivory Coast with the assistance of the nuncio there, and to see whether we can, express our own sense of solidarity, support, encouragement with the local church. With a possible hope of being able to meet the two political leaders who are the bottom of this stalemate and the political confusion in the country. We kind of followed all of this from day one when it all began. We didn't quite expect the conflict to have escalated to the point that it is now. So actually, when we decided to get involved or to go in there to express the sense of solidarity, it was because we'd followed so very many other initiatives. We followed so very many other attempts to settle the problem on the part of ECOWAS, on the part of the African Union, and even on the part of a group of religious leaders made up of, Catholic cardinals, archbishops, and representatives of, Islamic community in West Africa and Nigeria. All of this tried to intervene to encourage whoever lost the election to accept the will of the people expressed through the urn, and to so step aside. But all of this failed. So we'd hope to just go have the bishops' conference try to exercise a certain amount of control over the situation, provide some sense of leadership, and express the solidarity of the Universal Church on the part of this dicastery and that of the Holy Father. But when we got there, the situation had so deteriorated that the airport had been closed and a curfew had been imposed from 6 to 12. And incidentally, all airlines which flew from Ghana into Ivory Coast arrived here at 2 o'clock, so in the time of the curfew. So all of them had canceled flights and suspended flights into Ivory Coast. So I waited a little bit to see whether the situation would change. It didn't. I tried also to seek the help of the United Nations, which carried on special flights from Ghana into Ivory Coast in terms of duty. And I suspect that none of them were also, the UN was also not ready to, take this risk of carrying a non-UN staff into a dangerous situation where there's conflict and sniper shots all over. So it all came to this that I could not get into Ivory Coast. The best I could do was, carry on, almost daily conversations on the telephone with the nuncio and with the president of the Ivorian Bishops Conference, and with that try to express the solidarity of this dicastery, the solidarity of the church with the people. And whenever it was necessary also to carry a message, we try to do that through the Secretariat of State. So, that's just what happened.
One of the things you mentioned, the violence escalating. There was a report, of course, of this attack on a Catholic mission. Maybe hundreds of people were killed. Did you find out anything more about this?
The president of the conference sent a mail to me, and then he followed it up with a telephone call about an attack on a mission on the western side of the country. His own mail had just said that some group of Catholics were praying in a church, and then there was an attack, and according to his mail, 10 people or so, were killed. Subsequently, the western border, separates Ivory Coast from Monrovia, from Liberia, and there was a feeling that a lot of mercenaries have been recruited from Liberia to fight on both sides of the conflict. And some story had it that a group of mercenaries, brought in, were going back, and they were confronted and attacked, and probably some of them killed. So the explanation is not, it's not too clear. Whether it was a case of mercenaries recruited, by the Bible side, who were going back and who were, confronted by the other side and, or killed, or whether they were just, civilians killed, or whether they were Christians playing in the, churches killed. It's not too clear. What I can say is that from the president of the Bishops' Conference, the one thing that he said clear was that a group of Catholics were praying in the church. Some militia men appeared open fire, and 10 of them were killed. That's what the bishop said. But subsequently, then there was a story about bigger massacres and all of that. And about this, I say opinions. It's not too clear to verify what really happened.
There have been talks about there being a religious component to this conflict. How big a role does religion play in this crisis?
As somebody from the outside, I think that was also a little bit exaggerated. I mean, several political situations in Africa tend to have such religious thing imposed on it, or superimposed sometimes without any justification. What is true is that Alassane Ouattara has an Islamic background and is Islamic, but he's married to a French Catholic wife. And Babo, who is supposed to have been even, Catholic and married to a wife who, I don't know whether to say is or was a Catholic, in fact, the leader of a Christian youth in Ivory Coast at one point. So to say that it was a conflict between Muslim and Christians would not be exact. It's not quite the case. I know very, very, strong Catholics on the Ouattara side, some of whom even came here to Rome to see me in this office, in the Dicastery here of Justice and Peace. So I know there are Catholics on that side. Religion plays very, 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 very little role in this.
As a final question, based upon your talks with the Bishops' Conference and the Nuncio, what do you think the chances are of a reconciliation in the country at the end of this political stalemate?
We'd have to. The chances may be tough, but we'll still be the only way. Pulling back this big country together. Some kind of reconciliation will still have to be found. Starting from Babo himself. I've not been able to get the news of late about what that thing is. But at the time I was leaving Ivory Coast, it appeared as if Babo had settled back in his bunker with some militia men and, wasn't going to enter into any further negotiations. And what is verified, has been verified also about him, is that he's bounced back a few times, appears to move forward and then takes two steps back. And it's been difficult to kind of come to any clear settlement. So if there's any settlement, I suppose you first be between the two political protagonists, Alassane Ouattara, who won, and Babo, who's supposed to have lost the election, that the two of them come to a very, very, reasonable kind of settlement about the situation. I heard that from the part of Ouattara, the thing was that if Babo had accepted defeat, they would just have taken the trouble to, resettle him in any part of the country that he wanted and give him all the honors that, a former head of state, deserved. But not having considered defeat and all of that, it's gone to this stage of, so very many people having lost their lives, a lot of people having fled the country. So that makes it necessary to develop a very decent plan of reconciliation, expression, celebration of some pardon, some kind of healing on how to bring back the refugees and those who've left the country, how to ensure that their properties they left behind are all intact. So there's quite a bit of work to do. But still, however big this work may be, it's still very necessary to have a decent plan on this when it's all over. on the part of Ghana, since you know that's where I'm from and I happen to have been, I managed to see the president of the conference and already with them develop a plan of preparing some basic support for the people of Ivory Coast as soon as the borders are open. And this will be in the form of, you know, potable water, which is in very short supply in Ivory Coast, some medication, and some basic, food items. So the Ghana Bishops Conference wants to prepare this and get them ready at 3 points of the border, waiting for the opening of the border for them to get this into Ivory Coast to support their brother bishops over there, to deal with the situation.